Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, we have three rounds in the magazine. Round number one, AOC and Dan Crenshaw are actually going to team up, and this time it's to help out troops with a little bit of mushroom goofing. Kate, did 23-year-old Kate do some mushrooms?
All kinds of psychedelics and then a shock to no one. And I am a fan.
Yeah. Favorite ones. What's your favorite experience on mushrooms? Favorite mushrooms experience.
Just walking through the woods with my buddies. And then the one time we were all in a room and the other side of the room looked like it was real tiny. So we were walking across and getting real tiny. And then we'd walk and get real big. And then it was very funny.
Alice in Wonderland or Willy Wonka-esque?
Yes. But when you get the group mentality going and you're all on an adventure together, it's a treat. I tell you what.
Everybody having a little bit of the giggles.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I love the giggles.
Nothing better than a good old giggle fest. Round number two, Louisiana doesn't want their troops to have successful or long fulfilling relationships, including in the bedroom, which is shocking from Louisiana.
I know, because I'll tell you what. You get down there in the swamplands, there are all kinds of crazy positions you never even heard of.
They don't call it swamp ass for no reason, my friend.
No, certainly don't. So big Pornhub legal issue going on down there with the government.
That's right. And finally, round number three, we're going to talk about RFK and farts in round number three, which should be good. RFK is in the news every week, and it's for something, it seems like, stranger and stranger and stranger as the weeks go on.
He's the Marjorie Taylor Greene of the Democratic Party. You know what
he
I
is.
Mean? Right,
but a little more fun, right? Like, she seems a little bit like not, you don't want to bring her to a barbecue. Like, if you're going to a barbecue, she shows up, everybody's like, oh God, now it's going to be dramatic. He shows up, you're not sure who's going to be doing drunk push-ups. You're not sure what kind of fluoride you're going to be, like YouTube videos you're going to be watching. Because if you have that person that shows up to the party and they're ready to start some YouTube videos, that's a good person to bring to the party.
I don't know. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, if I caught her at a honky tonk after she had a big fight with her partner and she started ripping shots and smoking, I feel like we would actually kind of have a good time together, probably.
I do agree with that.
Circumstances, but I do think she could be like a legit fun time out. I'm just saying.
I could see waking up at like 8:30 on a Sunday morning and getting a text from you and be like, hey, you're not going to believe this, but I'm out here with Marjorie Taylor Greene right now. We've been ripping Marlboro Reds all night and she's been dishing.
Yeah. I think if the Palins had a beer Olympics, I would love to go. You know what I mean? There's certain on both sides of the fence, there's certain families that you know can party when it comes down to it.
The Boberts probably get down too.
Oh, let's not go to Louisiana with them because we can't do everything we want to do. I don't know. Well, my brain's my imagination. We got talking on the shroom talk and now I'm already picturing myself.
Yeah, we need to do ZBT on shroom if that actually happens. And good for them, AOC and Dan Crenshaw, getting together and figuring something like that out. And we're going to talk about all that and more today on ZBT. And that's going to be brought to you by...
This show is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. Barstool Sports recognizes that VFWs have been pillars of support in their communities for decades. And that's why in partnership with New Amsterdam Vodka, Barstool is opening up grant applications so that we can renovate, we can redo, we can make it better for the common areas of certain VFW posts. If you want to help out or if you want to apply for that grant, go to barstoolsports.com/winsforwarriors. You can donate directly if you want to do that. Or if you're a part of a VFW that needs a little bit of a facelift, hit us up. We want to help you out. We want to be involved. We want to get that thing back up and running. Make sure that you apply for the grant. But again, by going to barstoolsports.com/winsforwarriors. Or if you're not involved, if you're not even military related or associated and you just want to donate, go to the website, barstoolsports.com/winsforwarriors. Click the little donate, put it in there. We're going to get it going. We're going to get it good because that's what the VFWs deserves. Shout out to New Amsterdam Vodka for making it happen.
All right. So before we actually get going with the show, if you watch on YouTube, which if you're one of the dozens and dozens who watch on our YouTube show, you'll see that the background of where I'm at is different. I'm in my new house. I'm in my new basement. Finally, fully in Chicago. Kate is in, looks like her son's room, and she's getting ready to go too. You leave on Thursday, right?
leave on Thursday, and I still am. So I need a logistics or a supply bubba to come over here and help me out, because my God, I need a drill instructor to come over here and scream in my face until my ditty bags are packed correctly, because God damn. Every time my son fell asleep yesterday and I was like, this is the perfect time to get things done during his nap time, I wound up in a Dairy Queen parking lot for an hour eating a blizzard, you know? So it's
what's your Dairy Queen go-to? Do you have one?
Yeah, a chocolate blizzard with chocolate ice cream, Heath Bar brownie bites.
That's a good one, Kate. I think mine still shows that you can't take the white trash from the kid. Mine's the peanut buster parfait, the one with the vanilla ice cream and the peanuts and just the fudge. I love that. Can't get enough. Every time I want to venture out and try something new, but I don't. So we're both in the process of moving. I'm in my house now. Can I tell you a little bit about, I swear to God, my last month has been, I would say, one of the worst months, like logistically, administratively, in my adult life. It has been horrific. So I've talked about my basement flooding. I'm in that basement right now. It still has a tinge of some sewage in here, so we got to bring the person back. But moving across the country is always a pain. And I did it a couple times across the world in the military, but I didn't have nearly the amount of stuff that I do now. Like when I moved in, I probably had like a 1,000-foot apartment, something like that. Very small, just me and Kelsey, or just me going by myself. Now a full fudge family. So I get the call. I think it was when we were on the show last week, right? Where I said
the movers were like, sorry, we're coming like right now. And you guys were like, oh, tomorrow. Shit. Yeah.
So they actually did that. They came the very next day and we were going around like chickens, like your head's cut off, like all of that all at the same time. Like it was crazy getting ready to go. Well, they show up, the movers show up, they're on time. And these dudes are getting after it. You know, like I think it says something when you are, there's not very many things where I'm like, military veterans, they know a little bit more about this, but work ethic and like really getting after it and putting in full physical effort, I think we can identify that really well. These dudes came in, they were throwing boxes on their bags, like running up the stairs, running down the stairs, legitimately running to get things on to the truck as fast as they possibly could, because they can do two jobs in a day, they get more money, all that kind of stuff. So they're going after it. They're there for like 8 or 9 hours that first day. First day goes pretty smooth. I'm waiting for the second day. At the end of the first day, it's like 10 o'clock. They get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night rolls around, and they're still putting stuff onto the truck. They're still getting things together. The guy that's like leading the effort, Bruce, comes up to me and he's like, hey, I don't think all of your stuff is going to fit on this truck. And I say, okay, well, what's the deal there? He was like, they're going to contact you and they're going to charge you for another portion of the move. So it would be another 25% on top of what I've already paid. And I'm like, so you guys made the logistical mistake of not bringing a big enough vehicle. So therefore I'm supposed to pay another couple $1,000s to get this done. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, we can't do that. And he's like, well, we have to do that, or I have to unload all of your stuff because we have to have this agreement done. So we're going back and forth. It's 10 o'clock at night. You're exhausted after the long, like, of just telling people where to go, what to do, all this kind of stuff. Well, we finally get it sorted that they're going to he's going to come back the next morning, put the rest of my 25% stuff into a U-Haul, take that to a storage facility, drop that off. He's going to drive all the way to Chicago, go back to Texas, come back to Chicago, have all those different things. Well, the next morning rolls around. I'm already stressed out, probably up to like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, just trying to feel like what we're going to do, talk it through with my wife, what our options are, all that kind of stuff. The next morning, he shows up with the U-Haul and he's like, I don't have any crew. Like they all said that they weren't going to come because they get paid for the job and they had already done their portion. So they weren't going to come back the next day. And I'm still trying to go with my family. My wife and McCartney had already gone to Chicago. They had already flown up. So I'm trying to get up here with them to get help them get settled and all that shit. My back has been wrecked for like a year and a half. And I'm looking at the dude. The dude is just with him and his wife. Are the two movers that are there.
Oh.
They get in a fight in my driveway, Kate. a loud screaming at each other fight in the middle of the driveway. And I'm inside, I could hear them. And she's like, fuck you, I never wanted to do moving. Why should I be responsible for moving all this shit? It's your job, not mine. And I'm like, I kind of agree with her. Like, this ain't her job.
Oh my God.
So I had to go, I finally go up to the dude and I'm like, hey, do you need help? Like, is there something that I could help with to speed this process along? He's like, she's in a bad mood. She hasn't had any weed in like 3 days because of where she's at, and she didn't want to bring it across. I go, I get her a gummy and give it to the guy to give it to his wife. I start like helping him. So it's me and him. I paid like 20 grand for me and him to end up doing the moving together. I'm so pissed at this point. Like, my brain can't even function with how mad I am. We finally get all the stuff onto the U-Haul and get on our way. It's like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm legit soaked in sweat. It's so hot in Texas, like the national heat wave with a real tight spot around the San Antonio area. I looked at the thermostat before we left inside my house while we were moving, 93 degrees inside.
The doors were open. Even if the air's on, it just doesn't matter. Yeah. Oh my God.
It was brutal. So then we end up driving. We have to drive 20 hours. I'm watching Kelsey. So a 41-year-old dad watching my 18-year-old daughter do her first long distance road trip behind me, like knowing I'm like, we have walkie talkies. I like went out and got walkie talkies so she didn't have to pick up her phone and dial me every single time. Just like pick it up. I'd be like, Kelsey, get off your damn cell phone. I can see you swerving in and out. So I'm like hyper-vigilant on the road, hyper-vigilant on Kelsey. God. It's just been such a time. Like, such a time here, man. The people who were buying our house almost backed out. Like, we had to get back into the fold. It's just been tens of thousands of dollars and so much stress. And I'm sitting here, and my internet's not great. I can't find any of my actual computer shit. Like, my big computer for work, my big monitor, all my records, everything basically that I enjoy personally in my house is on the second shipment, which we have no idea when that's going to be here. None. None whatsoever.
Speaking of, I bitched about on my Instagram story, like, packing and stuff the other day. You have legit complaints. Like, I have nothing to complain about yet. I got several DMs from military spouses and military members who, they weren't mad at me, but they were like, buddy, you want to have a whole other side podcast? Just stories of military moving mishaps. People were like, well, I hope your move goes well. When we went to Japan, they lost all our belongings. We never saw them again. Boy, when we moved here for to Fort, whatever, you know, we had picked out all this stuff for the baby's room and we never saw, like, people had the craziest military moving stories. And I feel like that could be an entire saga on its own. Like, you could have a whole podcast dedicated to the crazy shit. If you're moving your entire family, like, with as much shit as you have every 2-3 years, it's fucking insane. Anyway.
And just looking at the stuff, there's so much shit. And even in this one, there was stuff that showed up to my house that's not mine. There was like a huge 8-foot bookshelf that's like really nice. It had to have been thousands of dollars. And the guys like are bringing it in yesterday. And I'm like, well, I'm like, that's not mine. And they're like, yeah, it is. I'm like, we would know if there's like an 8-foot by 8-foot huge cube, nice piece of furniture. That's not ours. Oh, and he's God. Like, well, the only other people it could have been is from Indiana like 3 weeks ago. And I'm pretty sure they would have called us. I'm like, I assure you that piece of furniture is not mine. Like, I don't want you to just take it to the dump. It's not mine. Like, I don't.
Great.
But if it was like an 85-inch TV, buddy, sign me up.
I mean, well, that has me excited for Thursday. And it sounds like, Chaps, you need more than a weed gummy. You need some mushrooms in your life, pal. You need something a little stronger, my friend.
Yeah, I love to sit around with old Dan and AOC and talk it up about how we can get my mental issues back in check, because they are far from it right now, Kate.
Well, you might be able to do that, because the House is poised to approve mood-altering drugs to treat combat-related brain maladies and maybe moving-related brain maladies. Capping years of effort by an ex-Navy SEAL from Texas and a New York Democratic Socialist. Drugs, the great unifier. Mm-hmm. Magic mushrooms make strange bedfellows. There's already some pretty solid studies that show just unbelievable outcomes, massive reduction in PTSD symptoms, said Representative Crenshaw on Thursday, making a final public plea with his partner on the issue, AOC. The duo has fought to get Congress to direct Pentagon studies of psilocybin to treat traumatic brain injury and PTSD, which have become increasingly common in the military. The proposal is tucked inside the $886 billion defense bill. So I'm sure I would love to see a list of the wackiest things tucked into that. But this one I approve of. The problem is, and AOC is right, the stigma around these substances is very real, but they hold enormous therapeutic potential. Allowing research on mood-altering drugs enjoys broad support. And I think across the board, military or not, everybody has either experienced or knows somebody who has suffered and struggled with all sorts of different mental illnesses, PTSD, all kinds of things. And man, oh man, you just want relief for yourself or for them. And yeah. I don't care if you are the strictest, most, because if your kid you think might be able to find relief in something like psilocybin or whatever, as long as it's in the proper environment, I'd be like, sign my kid up.
Like, and not just that, but like the opioid epidemic, I'm sure plays a part in that as well, because you have like what was considered to be safe medicine that has turned everybody into addicts. Like, why not go to a natural way of pharmaceuticals? You know, like to me, if my kids are like, you have the option of your therapy is marijuana or mushrooms or it's Oxycontin, like I'm going weed and mushrooms 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. So again, broad support. Veteran groups have lauded the bill as a way to stanch the suicide epidemic among those in uniform or retired from active duty. Roughly 450,000 military personnel were diagnosed with traumatic brain injury from 2000 to 2021, according to the CDC. And many also suffer from PTSD and depression. And a lot of times that depression can be the result of the traumatic brain injury.
Yep.
And people think, well, like, 450,000 like combat injuries? How's that possible? No, there's so many different, you could be training and bonk your head leaving the Humvee. You could be, there are so many different ways to bust
doing break falls for a hip toss.
There are so many different ways your brain can get fucked up in the military. Like, it's endless. And so that number is huge. And
one of our special gifts. Yeah.
Truly, we're good, great bonkers. And then PTSD afflicts 15% of veterans from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, according to the VA. Triple the rate among Vietnam veterans. And I don't know if that's more openness to talk about, that the number is higher than that of Vietnam veterans, like more.
Yeah, I don't, anytime those are out there, I don't believe that in the slightest. I think it's just a different terminology, just different ways of reporting. You're telling me that people from World War II and the horrific things that they saw, like our brains are just different from theirs? No way.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I know for me personally, a lot of uncertainty in life over the years. You'll hear me talking about it on today's episode, no less. And during those times, it helps to talk to somebody to get through it. And for me, BetterHelp has come in clutch. Whether you're dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. And when you're faced with tough choices, the way forward isn't always clear. It's so good to have a sounding board, and especially an objective one that can just be from a totally outside view. I love my family. I love my friends. There's certain things, certain thoughts I have, I'd rather just a complete stranger hear about it instead of them. BetterHelp, friends. That's where it comes. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. So it's helpful to learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. Someone at BetterHelp can help you do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. And you just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. For me, that was one of the best parts of it. You don't always mesh well with a therapist right away. It can be tough to find the right person for you. BetterHelp makes it so easy. They make it so easy. So let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, betterhelp.com/zero.
It's not possible.
But I do think it is a very large number. And I think another bigger part of this, which we saw, especially from the community that has been reaching out to us the last couple of years, is I don't know if PTSD is moral injury as well, but the moral injury many felt at the ending of these wars and how it all went down was severe. And yeah. I heard from a lot of people who were like truly struggling with the way things ended and that nobody got held accountable. Like, that's the kind of shit
you've been really open about that for yourself. Like that, yes. The post service has been much more impactful to you emotionally than in service.
Yeah. And so I think I'm not alone in that. A lot of veterans are not alone in that. So a 2021 clinical trial, for example, showed that people with PTSD who took MDMA paired with psychotherapy were twice as likely to recover compared to those who did psychotherapy with a placebo. So there's something real to it. And a lot of times you, from what I've seen, I watched like a Vice documentary, but you go into this peaceful, quiet room, you get comfy, you take a little bit of the MDMA or whatever they're working with. A therapist comes in, almost like a sensei who walks you through the experience and helps you tap into feelings and thoughts. And I will say this, every time I've done psychedelics, I've done them carefully and kind of like with respect for the psychedelics. Like, I've never gone into it willy-nilly. Like, I'm not going to go to Times Square and drop acid. That's a bad time waiting to happen. I make sure I'm in a safe environment with a good group of people in the right mindset. And I swear, this sounds crazy, it has unlocked new viewpoints for me where I found myself going, oh, wow, I never thought about this part of my life this way before. Like, I know that sounds crazy.
No, like what? Do you have an example?
I know after my divorce, well, how many times have I brought that up on this show? Probably a million times.
I think it's the first time.
But like, I was really, that was the person who knew me best in the military, who was friends with all my military friends. I had just gotten out and I felt like all of a sudden I was untethered from the only certain thing in my entire life. And I thought I had no future. Like, I wanted to die and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I've talked about that at length. And I'm at the beach with a good group of friends and I drop a little bit of acid. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was able to, instead of being so mired in my own brain, I felt like I was able to kind of step outside of it and see myself from the outside in an organized way. I don't know if I can explain it. And I was able to see that there was more to what was going, like, to life and to what was going on than what I was experiencing in the moment. And before that, you never could have convinced me of that. I know I'm not making sense.
It makes total sense, because I was reading this article that kind of describes what you're saying. Like, one of the byproducts of depression and one of the hallmarks of people who have depression is ruminating on different things. Yes. Like, you constantly ruminate on the same issues over and over and over again. And what MDMA or mushrooms allows you to do is break that cycle where you see things not in the ruminating way, where it's almost like, you know, as a dog guy, my old dog Elfie, I had a laser that you would use on a cat. And if you use it on a dog too long, they can become like really hypnotized by it and almost addicted to it. So in order to break that cycle, you have to completely break their frame of mind. You have to break their sight. And it sounds like that's what happens sometimes with people who have intense depression with mushrooms, that it breaks that cycle just for a second. And you're like, oh, wait, I might be able to do something different here.
Yeah, I feel like it let in this ray of light that I hadn't been able to access before. And after I had sobered up or whatever you want to call it, I was still able to hold on to those thoughts. It wasn't like when I was boozing and like maybe I had a cool thought that night, but gone the next day. Like, it was something I was able to kind of hold on to, like this little thing, this little thread. And then that paired with therapy, I don't know, I found it.
But even that little thread is so important. Like, if you're really mired in like suicidality and things, like having that little bit of light come through and you see, oh, there is another side of this tunnel, it's incredibly helpful, I'd imagine.
Also, just the fact that you're trying something to help yourself, you're like getting up and doing something is encouraging on its own. But yeah, a lot of people getting behind it. Hedge fund billionaire and owner of the New York Mets, Steve Cohen, recently donated $5 million to the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies for their efforts into legalizing the the therapeutic uses of psychedelics. Nobody tell Frank the Tank that, because he'd be mad no matter what. Psychedelics have been banned at the federal level since the Nixon era, a response to the counterculture movement of the 1960s, but acceptance has grown. Representative Luis Correa of California joined AOC and Crenshaw under a blazing sun on Thursday afternoon, and he's heard from countless veterans who sought treatment in places like Mexico, Costa Rica, and the success rate has been about 80%. And right, it sucks that veterans are looking to other countries desperate for help when it could be here, except it's this old school mindset that's keeping these studies and more research on it from taking place.
Crenshaw, same thing with weed, where the VA wasn't even allowed to do it. And one of the things I saw that had me put this on our sheet to talk about today was Australia actually just legalized it for all of their active duty troops to use it. So
really,
if they're currently serving, if they've gone somewhere and they have the different criteria of the different diagnoses, then they're allowed to do it in service. And it's like, why are we the leaders in all things military in the entire world, whether it's technology, capabilities? But when it comes to caring in the moment, we're like, well, it's a Schedule I narcotic. Now, here's some Tylenol with codeine. You can have that.
Right. But yeah, but you can't have
a couple milligrams of weed so you can sleep. That's insane.
I might be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure. Didn't we cover Canada? I think active duty troops in Canada can use it, but there's strict rules. Like, it has to be if you have duty.
Same drinking rules. Yeah.
Yeah, the same as drinking rules. There's like rules to it, but they do allow it. And no one has fallen apart. Everything is fine. I can't find one member of Congress who would say they are against this, said Crenshaw. So thanks to them for working on this and chugging along with that, because, dude, and even if 10 years from now, the studies turn out, they're like, it didn't do much either way. Any avenue that might help, let's crawl for the troops, for the love of God.
You can try, you know, like give it the old good college try.
Yes. And so, I don't know. I have truly found it to be helpful. Even when I use it, like, slightly more responsibly than someone in a therapist's office would probably get way more out of it than I did.
See, I was going to say, once you get up here too, we could try it out together and let everybody know, but you have to be real selfish and be pregnant again.
I know. But when I'm not.
Think about yourself. It's ridiculous.
I watched this, this YouTube video. These four guys went out golfing. One took a bunch of weed, one took a bunch of acid, one took a bunch of mushrooms, and the other was drinking. And it was just funny to see the way their golf games, like, they all started on the same page. And by the end, like, one was in the woods somewhere. The other was like smoking a pig at the hot dog place. Like, it was just really funny to see the way that turned out. But we could do something like that. We could all take different psychedelics and go to the VFW wing night together.
Yeah, maybe that could be our foreplay offshoot, is that we just get hammered and get high and shit and golf. That'd be great.
Totally. I would love that.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to round number two.
When an intruder threatens your home, every second counts. It's why I'm so excited to tell you about the latest innovation from Simply Safe Home Security. It's called 24/7 Live Guard Protection. And it's made possible only by Simply Safe's new Smart Alarm Wireless Indoor Camera. Now, with a fast protect monitoring plan, if an intruder breaks into your home, Simply Safe monitoring agents can actually see, speak to, and deter them through the camera, warning them that they're being recorded and that the police are on their way. I mean, if you want to go viral with video, buddy, this is the thing that you want. Yeah, I would love to be the Simply Safe person who got to yell at the thief running through your house, scaring the crap out of them. It's a game changer in home security. I know for me, I'm moving from an apartment way up on the third floor in New Jersey, where I feel pretty tucked in, to a townhome in the middle of Chicago. One of the first things I noticed was the big window right there on the first floor, right next to our door when you walk in. And I'm like, we're going to need Simply Safe. We're going to have to get us some Simply Safe. The new camera is also the only indoor security camera that can trigger an alarm and instantly deter intruders with a built-in siren. I know me, if I'm breaking into a house, the second I hear an alarm go off, I'm gone. And Simply Safe is on top of that right away. It's an advanced motion detection and vision AI can sense the difference between potential intruders and pets. Right now, ZeroBlog 30 listeners get a special 20% off any Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. This huge offer is for a limited time. Visit simplysafe.com/ZBT. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
What's this one about, Kay?
We're talking porn and porn.
Yeah, we are.
And another way to support the troops. Let them fap, my friends. Let them fap.
I never thought about this before you actually say this is not something that I partook in, but I could see it being beneficial now, looking back, hindsight.
Porn?
Yeah, read the article. Yeah, go through. I could see it being beneficial.
You've never taken part in porn.
No, I mean, in the way that these people that are the subject of the story.
Oh, okay.
I'm familiar.
I don't know that much about your life, but I'm pretty sure you're familiar. ew. Anyway.
Shaps and porn.
Your search is probably the most niche. It's probably like Pangea butt blowout or something. Like, who knows?
Backdoor Pangea.
Yeah, who knows? It's like whatever your niche interest is at the time mixed with. Anyway, Elizabeth Henson. So Elizabeth Henson just moved to Louisiana in June with her husband, an active duty Coast Guardsman. And like many couples, they watch pornography on major websites like Pornhub to keep their marriage spicy, sometimes together over the phone when her husband's duties take him away from home. And military couples spend a lot of time apart. And I'll tell you, phone sex, you only have so many lines to drop.
Yeah.
On them.
And it just feels very uncomfortable.
Can I say? I'm so horned up right now. Like, what else can I tell you? And so sometimes it helps to have a little inspiration or to have something else instead of me trying to write you a sexy novel. Here, watch this
video. I'm touching my own nipperoons.
Right, exactly. So she said, we'll watch a video together on the phone, get some of that steam blown off, and maintain that sense of intimacy, said Henson. She also served a decade in the Coast Guard herself. She told military.com, this is one of the ways that we can keep that intimacy alive in our marriage. In Louisiana, a state law passed in January that requires users to verify their age on porn sites using a driver's license or other ID through a third-party government website to verify that the user is at least 18 years old. Henson does not have a Louisiana state ID. Like many military spouses who move around frequently, she kept her driver's license from the last state she lived in. And getting a new driver's license wherever you go is such an enormous... I still have one from Pennsylvania. I'm on my third state away from there now, and I just can't bring myself to go to the DMV and deal with it. And also, when you're about to watch porn, you want to be a little anonymous.
Yeah. I think that's the most anonymous. I would rather somebody know my bank account information than... like what you're watching. Like nobody wants that.
I'm not
even
trusting.
If it's normal stuff, you're like, like if it's even if it's just like topless stuff, you don't want people to know who you're looking at topless.
Even then, I don't want to just give my license to some third party site
that's porn related.
Yeah. So I'm not, I don't know. But yeah. So instead, she chose to go through the hurdle of paying for and installing a VPN, a virtual private network, a tool that tricks websites into thinking its user is in a different location. Like sometimes people get VPNs to watch shows over in Europe or watch certain things over in Europe because they can convince their computer that that's where they are, kind of thing. She's doing it.
I used to do it with Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey, big time. Mm-hmm. But now she has to pay to access websites that she describes as helpful to her marriage. She says it's a tax on her and her husband's sex life, that Louisiana, them forcing people to put their IDs through to watch porn is a tax on her and her husband's sex life. The adult company, which also serves as an umbrella for other major porn sites, argues that viewers will simply go to niche sites, which are probably less secure, more extreme, and probably have more illegal content. Some critics of the Louisiana legislation also argue that even if those niche sites do comply with the law, they could have access to personal info through the government's verification system. And they're right. People are going to fucking watch porn, dude. People are going to find...
Even if it's squiggly lines.
What is that line from Jurassic Park? Porn finds a way. Okay. And so it's probably just going to take you to the darker corner. It's like you make weed illegal again. People are just going to be getting weirder, wackier weed from wherever they need to get it from. Like they're going to figure it the fuck out. According to Pornhub, I love this is a military.com story. And I love that they were reaching out to Pornhub. Probably for, Anyway, our traffic in Louisiana dropped approximately 80%. These people did not stop looking for porn. They just migrated to corners of the internet that don't ask users to verify age, that don't follow the law, that don't take user safety seriously, and often don't even moderate content. So,
but the people that pass that law, they're going to view that as a win, right? Like that they're saying that porn use is down 80%.
Because
they're
not going to slide, they'll show you.
Right, exactly. They're going to be like, we reduced it 80%. It's not that they're going to crazy seedy websites that are showing horrific things instead of things amongst consenting adults. They'll have much more like the black internet part or dark internet.
Yeah. So Utah, Mississippi, and Virginia passed similar laws in recent months. Virginia has one of the largest military populations in the country, and Pornhub has blocked access to its site in all three of those states. Because Pornhub's like, we're not complying with this law. The states don't have adequate digital verification in place. They're like, we're not going to put our users at risk for getting their spots blown up by some shitty government system. Like, we're not doing it. So we would rather lose the traffic, lose the clicks, and just not be there. Henson says that access to pornography websites is both helpful when her husband is away and is when they're together as part of date night. I'm kind of jealous of this couple. It sounds like
these couples seem to figure
out.
They get after it. Yeah.
Them.
How does that work? I don't understand how, like, over the phone, unless you're doing like screen sharing, like on Zoom, like, how are you watching the same thing at the same time? Are you like, ready? 1, 2, 3, click.
They very well might be. I don't know.
Need to watch that. They should have a process of that. Put that OnlyFans. OnlyFans military couple stimulates themselves while service to the country is important.
On Pangea.
Right.
Anyway, she said she's surprised that something so intimate between her and her husband is being controlled by the state. I thought the South was supposed to be small government, but that doesn't seem to be the case, Henson said.
Wow, shots fired.
Shots fired. So interested to see if more states follow this route, or if it eventually starts coming out, oh God, all these really bad porn sites are starting to blow up. Maybe this was the wrong thing.
But it's smart by the pro porn folks who are like, we need to get the troops in here. Like, that's the only way people are going to pay attention. If the horny deployed troops are having their marriages fall apart because they can't watch a little backdoor anal, then we need to get that thing.
And let me tell you, the troops of all people are going to find a way.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to. Buddy, you don't want to know. You think there are all these noble whatever. There's a slippery slope.
Some horned up folks wearing camouflage.
So anyway, interested to see where that goes.
All right, what's round number three?
All right, back to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's being himself enough to make headlines. Page Six regrets to report that at a press dinner to boost Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential campaign, he descended into a foul bout of screaming and polemic farting on Tuesday night. The White House hopeful attended a fair at Tony's on the Upper East Side, no doubt hoping to impress the ladies and gents of the Fourth Estate his worthiness to sit at the same Oval Office desk once occupied by his late uncle. But a shouting match over climate change broke out between two boisterous old men, sending the evening down an unfortunate path. And one thing about old guys, if you get them riled up, they're going to fart.
Oh.
They're going to fart. It's like if you scare a puffer fish. Okay? I've gotten my dad upset about a couple things. First thing he does, sit up in the recliner a little bit, fart comes out. Okay, there's no...
Yeah, you just got to establish dominance.
Yep. So this gaseous exchange, to which Page Six bore reluctant witness, began after a guest asked Kennedy, who is the founder of the ecological organization Waterkeeper Alliance, this guest asked him about the environment. It seems that the mere inquiry was enough to set off an apparently drunk gossip colonist turned flack, Doug Deschert, the host of the event, who became enraged and screams at the top of his lungs, "The climate hoax." I don't know what's that. I just know it's old drunk people. Some of them believe in climate change.
They're just going to be parts of this story, Kay, because I know it's fresh to you, that are going to seem like I wrote this story. And I promise to God, I did not adjust a single thing.
Yeah. So this other guest, art critic Anthony Hayden Guest, who's like in his 80s, who was pretty much asleep through this whole dinner, wakes up when he hears these two RFK and this other guy going at it. And he opens his eyes and he denounces his longtime pal, the host of the thing, Deschert, calling him a miserable blob. "Shut up," implored Hayden Guest. Hayden Guest, by the way, said, "I was not asleep. I was just thinking."
Classic.
Deschert continued to scream wildly about the climate change scam, while Hayden Guest peppered him with verbal volleys from across the table, calling him fucking insane and insignificant. Meanwhile, Kennedy's sitting there with his soup, his friend, and he's sitting there and he's just watching this calmly. Here, it seems, Deschert sensed a need for a new rhetorical tack, and he let rip a loud, prolonged fart while yelling to underscore his point, "I'm farting." That's a power move. The room, which included a journalist.
Like, to me, that's the best. That's one of the best sentences I've read in a long time. Like, you're that mad that you're in a climate argument that you start screaming, and then you scream so much that you start farting, and then you shift your screaming to a commentary on that fart by just saying, "I'm farting."
I will say, in that moment, the only way to not have the fart ruin your moment is to look everyone in the eyes and say, "And that's right, on top of the rest of it, I'm farting." That's the only way to control it, the narrative, and to win. So he's doing the right thing there by letting people know.
You are. Yeah. Yeah. And it's showing integrity. Like, yeah, I did it. Yeah. Me.
The room, which included a handful of journalists and Kennedy's campaign manager, was stunned. And they weren't sure whether Deschert was farting at Hayden Guest personally, or at the very notion of global warming. Is he farting on global warming? Is he farting specifically in this guy's direction? The candidate maintained a steady composure in the face of the crisis. Sadly, and somewhat inexplicably, another guest brought things back to climate change, leading to another round of yelling. And Deschert and Hayden Guest, who have known each other for 3 decades, were just farting all over the place. When I asked a comment about this, Deschert told us, "I apologize for using my flatulence as a medium of public commentary in your presence." And so he's like, "I knew I was going to fart. I used it like a skunk attacks an enemy. I did it on purpose." So he's maintaining full control of the fart.
And so, I will say, for RFK on his side, maintaining composure there and having some bearing, that's a feather in his cap, right? Like, if you're in that situation, because as president of the United States, you're going to be in some rooms that are oftentimes uncomfortable. If you can be comfortable where people are yelling about climate change and screaming, "I'm farting," while they're actually farting, I feel like you got a good head on your shoulders.
RFK was also in the news for spreading conspiracy theories about Ashkenazi Jewish people and Chinese people in COVID. COVID was ethnically targeted to spare the Jews and get other people. So he had us with
the. Can we have that one? Can we have those be like a wash?
It's a wash. I'd say it's a wash. So as usual, politics going really well for everyone. I don't know what that party better find between RFK and Biden's old ass.
So the White House is going to be a very farty place for a long, long time. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right, let's move on to.
I'm just saying, that's a farty butt as well.
Big time. Oh, the whole squad's farty.
The whole squad.
Everybody's farty. Yeah, we're farty. You're pregnant.
They're all crazy farty. I look at Pat and I'm like, "I'm farting right now." I just say,
yell it next time.
I take in a lot of protein, guys. A lot of protein.
Yeah.
Per day. Those are
the worst one, Nick. Banana muscle milk will create.
I'll tell you what the king of farts is. You want the king protein level here, guys? I'm about to give it to you right now. Back in the day, you can't find this in the GNC anymore. Nitrotech. If you took in some Nitrotech at any point and you unleashed that on your significant other, they're no longer your significant other, brother.
Yeah, it's tough out there. And so I'm sorry, the thought of Chaps drinking something called banana muscle milk makes me... It's how I feel when he's got the meat sweats. It's no offense. It's troubling.
Yeah. None taken.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Kate, what do you got?
Certainly. Again, nothing. This is moving week. I move in, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I move on Thursday. And so that's it. And by the time you hear the next episode, I'll be in the new spot. So who knows how it's going to go. Hopefully no offense, better than your move went, Chaps. Better than your
you got none taken. I hope so too.
So, and we're driving. So me, the cat, the baby, and Pat, my baby dad, and my pregnant belly. All four of us in a small Buick. I haven't been able to secure anxiety meds for the cat, who, if the cat, have you ever heard a cat in distress? Like, it's terrible. Picture that for 11 hours.
Sprinkle Dinkles did that. She went on with Annalise. She flew on a plane with Annalise, and they had that tornado that hit Chicago. They were flying over the airport whenever that happened, and Sprinkle Dinkles was going insane on the flight, apparently.
Yeah, so either way, this is going to be, I don't know where we're stopping yet or how many stops we're going to have to make. I haven't planned this shit out. I better figure it out because it's happening in a couple days. But other than that, nothing crazy going on with me. Shout out to all the people in the military who are just constantly moving. And side note, I saw a good thread on that. I think it was Kyle, our former social media fella. If you suffer from the symptoms of ADHD, lack of focus, no productivity, your brain is constantly wandering. Oh my God, are they describing me as we speak? You need to check out Proper Wild's clean all day energy shots. Proper Wild uses organic caffeine stacked with L-theanine, which has been clinically shown to boost your energy, focus, and productivity, wait for it, without the jitters and without the crash. So I know when I was in the military, we used all kinds of things to stay awake, stay focused, but there was always the inevitable mega crash afterwards. That's not going to happen with Proper Wild. There's no preservatives, no artificial sweeteners, no horrible chemicals, just a natural tasting energy shot with clean ingredients that work. Finally, something you can feel good about when you're taking it. I know for me, especially, and for Pat, as we're trying to pack right now, we could probably use an entire case of Proper Wild to help us stay focused and to get me being a little healthier probably. So go to properwild.com/barstool to try Proper Wild for 30% off. I know I'm gonna. Proper Wild, who talked about how wasteful and silly it is that we make these troops move their families every few years. The spouse has to find a new job. The kids yep. have to restart school. And the main reasoning is so that these troops get the full work experience. And it's like, I feel like that reasoning just doesn't.
It's so old, anymore. Right? Like you can, it's just so outdated. Like the amount of money too. Like
it's so expensive.
So expensive.
And speaking of, final note, I saw, I have to look up her name, but there was it a congresswoman going off about the cost of troops Viagra and lobster dinners and the budget?
I've been hugely offline, so I did not see that.
Somehow she found out the number, the cost of Viagra, which we've covered on the show. The government spends like hundreds of millions of dollars on Viagra yeah. for the troops and veterans. And she also found the cost of, you know how every now and then you get like a steak or lobster dinner somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
So she was like freaking out about this. One, I'm sorry, but sexual health matters. Yes. If you got a troop or a vet that can't get a boner, God damn it, I want them to be able to. And right. that's important for mental health, especially if you're in Louisiana, Virginia, Utah, or what other mm-hmm. other states blocking your Pornhub already.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a shitty argument. And two, these fancy meals, like, yeah, it's not all the time. And our morale also matters. Like, morale is also important to mental health. So I just thought those were really dumb arguments. I can see how they would get a knee-jerk reaction from the public. Our tax money is spending how much on whatever for the troops? But I feel like...
And we spend more money in paper clips than we do on those meals. So it's not like right. that's happening all the time.
Right. So I just thought it was funny that somehow she discovered these numbers and thought she was on to something big. And it's like...
You thought you did something there.
You didn't. I'll have to find out what her name is and poop on her next show. Anyways, okay. That's my other save round. So,
all right. Nicholas, you got anything?
Man, save rounds. My wife is going to Canada for work this week. So I know I talk about like Hour of the Dead stuff a lot if you guys follow me on Twitter, but I'm going to be solo with the kiddos for about 5 days. So pray for me.
You looking forward to it or terrified?
I don't mind having the house after I get them down to myself, because usually it's Dateline 2020, like murder marathon on the screen. So I get to have the house to myself after I get them down. But my little guy, he still, you know, he pops up and down throughout the night. So, he, you know, he sleeps the whole night, but, you know, you got to be vigilant. You got to be, you know, paying attention to what they're doing, you know.
Yep.
So that's really it.
You're on Firewatch, basically.
Yeah, I'm on Firewatch, basically. Nice. That's it. Thank you. That's what I was searching for. I'm on Firewatch for the next week. So
there you go. I think I'm going to go into the office now for the first time. Like, once we're done, I'm going to get off and go to the current Chicago office and see what the fellas are getting into.
As you should. I love it.
Oh, by the way, I know I talked a lot of shit about the moving process. My new neighborhood is lovely as the day is long. So we got here, all that moving drama, and this is actually makes it worth it. So all the bitching and complaining makes it worth it. We came up here because we found out that there's going to be a block party. Well, there was a block party on Saturday. It started at 9 a.m. Cardi walks out the door at like 8:50. Doesn't come back inside until 10:30 at night. Legitimately out all day and all night playing. We went and got a new bike because they had outgrown their own bike. This bike, by the way, sick. It's got like LED lights that you push a little button when it gets darker and it like flashes in different colors. It's got blue tires, like a bright electric blue. It's got a lock on it. And so they're just cruising around. We got them a cell phone, so now I could just track where their location is. They'd be like, hey, Dad, I'm going to go get this. Me and my new bud are going to go get some candy from like this little store. Can I go get some candy? I'm like, yeah, dude. The ice cream truck on Saturday came by three times. We had a three ice cream truck day.
That's right. You've always been in very kind of not rural suburban neighborhoods, but you've never been anywhere walkable before. I feel like this is the first time.
No, not even remotely close to like my last house. All the houses had half an acre to an acre lot. So everything was really spread out. Now everything's really dense, close.
Dense.
And I thought moving where I'm moving, there wouldn't be a lot of veterans. There's one dude who was in the 375th Ranger Battalion. First guy I met, watched some UFC fights with him. He had a great downstairs, like basement bar that we were hanging out with. It had like taps and shit. There's another dude down the street who's a Navy SEAL, who was an academy guy, which I won't hold that against him. There's a woman on the street is an Air Force artillery intelligence officer. So just the whole squad. I was shocked at how many people I have things in common with. I'm really looking forward to that. So I bitched a lot, but ultimately once we get things put away and all of this is over, it's going to be fantastic.
I love that. Well, that's a good note.
Well, let's end it on a good note. Sound the retreat.